This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
David Cobb is from CBS Sports, writing college basketball, college football for them. He's also a role player here at 92.9 ESPN. Joins me Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He's pulling double duty today because he's on Jeffrey Wright and Company, but he's on X at David W. Cobb. David, are you joining Jeffrey tomorrow as well, or was it just today? Have we rescheduled?
Yeah, we executed a little swap.
Okay.
A little swap. So, yeah, I was on Wednesday, so I've been all confused thinking today is Thursday. And then anyway, but yeah, no.
Okay, so Kevin Cerrito tomorrow.
Confirm that with Jeffrey, but I'm fairly certain Kevin Cerrito will be in my slot tomorrow. Correct.
But you can usually hear David on Thursday with Jeffrey Wright.
Correct.
There we go. All right, now we just got done talking about this, and I want your take on it. Heard a little bit earlier when you were on with Jeffrey, but Donald Trump is planning on making a presidential commission on college athletics, according to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. The commission is looking to, fix some of the issues that we have seen in college athletics. Frequency of player movement in the transfer portal, unregulated booster compensation paid to athletes, debate on college athlete employment, Olympic sports, what's that going to look like, Title IX. What are your thoughts on this particular bit of news, President Trump trying to put his hands into to college athletics?
Well, it's fascinating, isn't it, amidst all the other things going on in our nation and in our world, that
sure.
He would take an interest in college sports. Kind of interesting, but I hope it helps, but I'm dubious. I'm skeptical that it will. Basically, the idea that they feel like they even need to do this tells me that the House settlement is not going to accomplish what they hoped it would. You know, they hoped the House settlement would put in the guardrails that everyone's been clamoring for. But clearly the fact that Nick Saban went up there to speak with him, or, you know, that he spoke with the president in the first place, and that the president's doing this commission, it seems to suggest that nobody really believes that the House settlement is going to bring the clarity that we all hoped it would. So at the end of the day, I mean, do we really need another commission with Condoleezza Rice and Oliver Luck?
Right.
And, I mean, Jeff Long. Who else are we going to put on there, Gabe? Who are we going to put on? Who's the North Carolina AD, Bubba Cunningham?
Yeah,
he's gonna be on there, right? He's
got to
be on there
for sure.
Maybe Lou Holtz. Maybe we can put Lou Holtz on there.
You think he's still right of mind? You think he's still good upstairs?
He's good enough.
Is Tommy Tuberville gonna be on it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We gotta have Tommy Tuberville on there. Let's get Les Miles on there too. I mean, let's just really make this thing a winner. Ultimately, I guess the thing they could do would be to sort of forcefully recommend or suggest to stubborn people out there that the only way to fix this is to make the athletes employees. Like,
yeah.
If they can find a way to make people realize that, then maybe we'll right. look back and say this group accomplished something.
I will say this, though. I don't know if President Trump, based on his conversations with Nick Saban, really wants to go down that route. I have no idea, though. We'll see what this commission does. To me, though, David, I think I'm right there with you. The way to view this, as of right this second, without it being created and not knowing who's going to be on this commission, we know the president, and I'm not trying to get political by any stretch of the imagination. He likes to be popular. He likes to win the popularity contest. And this is a popular issue among a lot of sports fans and people in our country. To me, it's grandstanding. It's political grandstanding. I'm sorry. That's how I view it. But that's how I view it.
Yeah, I mean, what are the chances we look back in a decade and are like, yeah, President Trump saved college
sports? Right, exactly.
I mean, it seems unlikely. It seems like there's probably going to be higher priorities for him. He gets the brownie points, you know, here for, okay, he's going to put together this commission. Hey, look, maybe this commission gets together, comes up with some recommendations that university prep, but like, what actual power is it going to have? Like, that's the thing. He's like, you can create a commission on anything, but then it's ultimately still up to Congress
right.
to write the laws of our nation. And we've been trying to get Congress to write laws about college sports for the last 6-7 years, and they haven't even gotten around to even coming close to accomplishing it.
Right, but that's the positivity I will try to take from this, is that at least the federal government realizes they need to intervene because no one else will make these decisions. Again, it won't be a timely thing, but this is the first step into getting federal government intervening in what is going on right this second.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it's got to, however we get there, the end game has to look like what professional sports looks like. It's contracts that are binding under the terms, not just binding because the school says they are. You know, NFL contracts aren't binding because the owners of NFL franchises say they are. They're binding because they were negotiated. The terms of how you put together a contract were negotiated by a players' union. And so there have been attempts to unionize over the years in college sports that have all failed. But what we got to get to is a place where there's collective bargaining, and that the players understand. But it's just so hard when the players cycle in and out. You know, you're in college 4 or 5 years at the most.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard to have a real players union. That's a hurdle, but that's where we got to get to where it's collectively bargained.
All right, David. ACC is going from 20 to 18 games in their college basketball conference season. What do you make of it? This seems like a bit of a Hail Mary to try to get resumes a little bit better in the out of conference. Two more games that they would have a chance to win because they feel like the ACC is doing them no favors.
Well, it all depends on what you do with the two extra games. If you go and schedule a team from the MEAC and team from the Big South, you know, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to make it worse if that's what you do. But if you use the two extra games now that you won't be playing in conference to go and schedule teams that finished last season in the top 100 of the net, and you play one away from home, that can do nothing but help you. So it's smart that they're going from 20 to 18 because the ACC has really struggled. But if you don't use the two extra games to schedule better, then you're going to come out worse for it. So, you know, they've gotten one step of it correct here. But now you actually have to follow through on the other side, because you know what? Like, there's some coaches out there who are going to say, you know what? All right, I can load my schedule up with Wofford and with High Point now, and I'm going to get to 20 wins, and my AD is not going to fire me if I get to 20 wins,
right?
I mean, there's still coaches out there who think that way, and that's such a backwards way of thinking, because what you should be doing is thinking, all right, what's going to help me get to the NCAA tournament? That should be your goal, and that should be the goal of this whole ordeal that the ACC is going through, is to increase the number of teams that they're putting in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's embarrassing how bad they were this year. They were awful, and so you got to go back to the days of where you're getting 7-8 teams in the dance. This can help, but it alone is not nearly enough to turn the tides of the ACC.
And it's not a surprise they've been bad in basketball, or why they've sort of devolved. All these coaches have walked away. We know about it. Roy Williams, and then Tony Bennett, and Jim Boeheim, all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this, though. Considering some of these jobs may open, and there's, you know, good coaches around the country that could fill them. We already know that at NC State, we have Will Wade in there. I wonder if in a couple of years they may rethink this yet again if they get better results on the floor. Because North Carolina, Hubert may get it done, and if not, they'll find a good coach. We know Will Wade's in place. We know Jay Lucas at Miami yep. could get it going. Duke's going to be great with John Shire. I wonder if in a couple of years they may come back to the table and say, okay, maybe we can go back up to 20.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, like you could look at the SEC right now and say they should go to 20 because it's only going to be two more quad one games in all reality, based on the strength of that league in this past season. They would have been even stronger had they played two more games against each other. But when the bottom half of your conference, like that's going to be the issue for the ACC, because when you add in Cal, you add in Stanford, you got Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, you just have some programs in that league that are going to be Boston College, going to be hard pressed to ever be all that competitive in this era. Whereas you go and look in the SEC, I mean, every program in the SEC aspires to be competitive. South Carolina didn't make the tournament this year, but they made it last year. You know, LSU, not too far removed from Will Wade and the success that he had there. You know, obviously Matt McMahon has struggled to get it going, but you know, you don't have the horrendous lower tier in the SEC that you do in the ACC. So that would be the one hindrance to them ever going back to 20. But I agree. I think the ACC is moving overall in a positive direction. It's taken them a while to sort of transition generations, but they're finally fully on to the next generation from a coaching standpoint because of the coaches you mentioned. And then, like, you know, you look at Ryan Odom going to Virginia. He's going to get them going. The one who I feel like still has to flip the page for the ACC to get back on the hardwood is probably Syracuse.
Yep.
Now, they're going to give Red Autry the money he needs to go out and build a better team, and they're doing that. Like, they should be better next season. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, like, he got the job because he was Jim Boeheim's guy. You know, so, like, it's still kind of the same way with Hubert Davis at North Carolina and Roy Williams. But Hubert Davis has been to a national championship game, right? So he's at least got that on his resume. Whereas, you know, Red Autry at Syracuse, it's like, all right, like, you got to show us something this next year. And then if he can't, they need to move on, because Syracuse has got to be good for the ACC to be at its best.
Now, latest news on PJ Haggerty's recruitment from our guy Hitman Hoops. I had him on the show last week, sort of talking about this. But the latest news from him is that Memphis has officially said we're done. You know, we got what we want. Right decision or wrong decision to say, you know what, go to NC State. It's fine.
It's right if the price was just prohibitively high. It's right if you really believe in the roster that you've put together for next season. It's right if PJ Haggerty coming back might have meant that you lost a couple of these guys who have committed to play for you next season. Circumstantially, I trust that Penny Hardaway made that decision or made that call from a good and sincere place, and not from an emotional place, like, oh, you know, my feelings are hurt, right? I don't think that's what this was. Like, I think Penny is really good at looking at things objectively when it comes to putting together a roster and understanding, you know, the needs of his team, the financial situation. Like, I've said it all along. I give Penny Hardaway, for the duration of his tenure, the roster management element of it, I give him probably an A on all that. Now, you get into the season and sometimes things get a little sideways. You know, some of the schematical things have been issues at various points. And so on the whole, I don't give him an A on the whole for his entire tenure. But from a GM and roster management perspective, I do. I do give him an A. And so, you know, it could just be a situation where this is dragging on. The price is getting up there. We like what we've got coming in. And, you know, let's just move on. And if that's the situation he ended up in, then I'm going to choose to believe he made the right decision.
I am going to say it. I've talked myself into this being the fully correct decision. I think you have more than enough in the backcourt. And I don't know if P.J. Haggerty coming back would help your situation all that much when it comes to, you know, retaining the guys like you mentioned. But Doug McDaniel can score. Sincere Parker can score. Julius Thedford can score. The guy they got from UT Rio Grande Valley, Hassan Abdul Hakim, he can score. Zachary Davis is another guy who can fit in there. I've talked myself into, I like what this team already has, and it feels like PJ at this point in the game would just sort of upset what they have cooking what they have brewing.
What absolutely could. And it's on him to assess that and judge that. And so I think he's probably done that. To me now, the next need becomes a big. You got to get another big. I know people look at Hassan Abdul-Hakim and say, well, he's 6'8" and all this. But, yeah, I mean, this is a guy who played more on the perimeter, though, at UT Rio Grande Valley. And so, obviously, you know, Aaron Bradshaw is in the fold, but this is a guy who's never played more than 20 minutes a game his first two seasons of college basketball. Dane Danger in the waiver. I mean, to me, that's the biggest question right now. But I would say even if you are confident in that waiver being approved, and, you know, I don't know how to feel about that, I would still say even if Dane Danger's waiver gets approved, you still need another big. If his waiver gets approved, it's not so important that it's a good big. I mean, it's just, you just need one. If the waiver doesn't get approved, then you really, I mean, you really need a quality big. I mean, you don't have to be as good as Dane Danger. Like, you're not going to find that at this point, but that to me is kind of the biggest need at this point. Cause as you mentioned, I mean, they got a litany of guards, even without Haggerty, who are all more than capable of performing at a really high level in the AAC. So that's not my concern. My concern is now the front court.
Talking with David Cobb from CBS Sports, covers college basketball and, of course, college football for them. I have a college football question for you. I know we're in the heart of the off season, and, you know, spring ball's done and everything else. I want to get to the SEC because I think a lot of things are in flux in the SEC. You have to figure it out. Like, South Carolina may be a lot better than we expect, just because Lenore Sellers is coming back. You look for quarterbacks that are coming back and rosters that are coming back. Talk to me about LSU. Please talk to me about LSU. What should I think? What should my listeners think about LSU heading into next year with the talent they have? Garrett Nussmeier returning at quarterback, Brian Kelly at coach. How should we feel about LSU in next year's SEC?
Oh, it's playoff or bust. And even at that point, in a 12-team playoff that we live in now, even just making it probably shouldn't be enough for Brian Kelly. I mean, this is year four, and he's had quality teams, but he's never broken through. I mean, he wasted Jaden Daniels. We all saw how good Jaden Daniels was as a rookie in the NFL. I mean, that guy was on LSU's team, won the Heisman Trophy, and all they did was win the, you know, what was it, the Citrus Bowl or whatever. Right. I mean, come on. Like, what a waste. What a waste. And so now you get into year four. Again, you have a quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier who is being talked about as a potential number one overall draft pick. At the minimum, maybe one of the top three quarterbacks selected in next year's draft. And so, I mean, come on. Like, you have to, at minimum, make the playoff. And I think the part of this, because Jeffrey and I got into this a little bit today, it was a good discussion. The part about LSU that he has questions about, fair, the defense, totally fair. But you're going to see that year two jump under Blake Baker.
Yes.
I believe that, right? Because, like, at Missouri was awful until he got there defensively. Year one, they made strides. Year two, they popped. So LSU, year one under – they were awful before Blake Baker got there. Year one, they kind of made strides. Now year two is like, all right, now you should pop. And if that LSU defense pops and they have the talent to do it, they could be as good as anybody in the league. I mean, talent is never an issue at LSU. They have a great coach in Brian Kelly, great quarterback. Now if the defense takes the next step, I mean, you know, you're talking about one of the five or six best teams in the country.
Let's assume LSU is going to win at least 8 games. Let's say they don't make the playoff, though. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most hot seat or fired in general. Where's Brian Kelly going to be if they don't make the playoff next year?
Oh, an 8.5.
8.5.
Eight and a half for
sure.
So
not a full 10. Not a full 10. But close.
I mean, it's always depends. But if you go 8-4 in year four, never made the playoff, yeah, you could absolutely justify firing Brian Kelly. You without a doubt. I mean, this is a guy who made the playoff pretty regularly, you know, or at least on occasion at Notre Dame when it was a 4-team playoff. And now you're going to be in a 12-team playoff. And not to mention, like, he made it clear when he left Notre Dame to go to LSU, he was doing it because he thought LSU gave him a better chance to win a national title. Meanwhile, it's his old school under Marcus Freeman that's actually making more noise on the national stage.
Right.
That's kind of embarrassing, is it not? But I actually believe LSU will be good this year. I don't think we're going to end up in a situation where they're 8-4. I mean, without having looked at studied their schedule in depth, I mean, for all the reasons I mentioned, with second year under Blake Baker, Garrett Nussmeier's back, Brian Kelly, you know, he didn't get off to the fastest start at Notre Dame. Like, it took him a minute before he really got it rolling there. And so you would think in this era that wouldn't be a problem with how quickly you can get your guys into a program. It's been a little slow, been a little sluggish, but, I mean, this is it. This is the year for him.
I hate to say it. I think it should be a 10, just because when you look around at the usual suspects, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, all replacing quarterbacks, all replacing rosters, all trying to figure it out at once. LSU's the one sort of usual suspect that has everything. Right, theoretically, right now, they have it all figured out. It's like it has to be this year, or like LSU, it just feels like they're wasting time. This is a team that wins national championships, you know, every, you know, 5 to 10 years. That's what they've been doing since 21st century began. You got to get there.
If Les Miles and Ed Orgeron can win national titles at LSU, I mean, for crying out loud, there's no reason why Brian Kelly can't do it. And a great call by you to mention the fact that the other top programs in the conference being down a little bit right now opens the door and makes it inexcusable for LSU not to perform. I mean, you got an Alabama that's in flux here. Nick Saban is not there anymore. They're changing quarterbacks. You got Georgia is going to be relying on Gunnar Stockton. They've gone two straight years without winning the national championship now. I mean, who else in the league are you really afraid of? Texas, I guess, with Arch Manning. I mean, they were a great team last year. I mean, that's the one thing you can really kind of point to is like that, like, well, you know, with the SEC being expanded now, there's more high caliber competition. But yeah, that's true. But the playoff has expanded too, so your margin for error is larger now than it was before. So, you know, I think what is ultimately going to come down to and how we define success for the SEC and schools like LSU moving forward is, do we get to a place where three lost teams from the SEC are making the playoff? Because there were three of them last year who got left on the outside looking in. But I think the narrative and the especially if they ever go to a 9-game schedule, and I think they should, if they ever go to a 9-game schedule, then you're going to start to see the 9-3 teams from the SEC get into the playoff. In which case, you know, they begin to monopolize those spots. So that's a huge thing to look at. And I think why they're handicapping themselves by not going to 9 games. Cause I think if you go to 9 games, then you can point to your strength of schedule and say, my 9-3 team should be getting in. And that ultimately in the end, that helps an LSU, you know, I mean, that helps a lot of teams in the SEC.
Now we had the conversation about the quarterback crop of this upcoming year in college football and how we may think it's down, but obviously guys are going to come along, but it's sort of Garrett Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik and Arch Manning and, you know, some unproven guys, I think, in the grand scheme of things, Norris Sellers. Who's a quarterback from anywhere in the country we're not talking about enough?
Well, I mean, the one you didn't mention from the SEC there is DJ Lagway. So you look at DJ Lagway, and he's a guy who the entire season – Florida's entire hopes, Billy Napier's entire tenure hinges upon DJ Lagway being as good as advertised, being as good as the glimpses suggested he can be at the end of last season. I mean, that's a huge one. I mean, and then you want to go, like, just take it outside the SEC. I mean, look at Sam Leavitt at Arizona State, a guy who I'm sure could have made untold amounts of money to get in the portal and go to somewhere with a bigger brand, right? But he was at a place he liked, playing for Kenny Dillingham. Dillingham keeps that guy. Now he's got a chance to go out there and be a dark horse Heisman contender. So, you know, there's another one to sort of keep an eye on. But yeah, I mean, I think DJ Lagway, I mean, the entire trajectory of the Florida program kind of hinges upon his performance this year.
You mind if I throw one at you from around the country,
sure,
outside of the SEC and the Big Ten? Dante Moore at Oregon. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I'm kind of surprised they're putting their eggs in that basket. And in the era where it feels like a deep-pocketed program like that can go out and find a proven, steady hand, they're going all in on a guy who's not very proven, which is, you know, a little bit unsettling, I feel like. So I'm kind of fascinated to see how that one plays out.
We have yet to see, though, in the Dan Lanning, Will Stein era, a quarterback flail around in that offense. All of the quarterbacks that go to Oregon right now become nice draft picks. Dylan Gabriel was picked higher than we expected. Bo Nix, of course, is doing well in the NFL, and he was, you know, a top 12 pick. Like, it's hard for me to imagine a quarterback struggling when I've seen this nice little, you know, back-to-back track record of quarterbacks thriving within that Oregon system.
Well, and it feels like...
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection?
That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
But Bo Nix in particular, I mean, when they brought him in, it was like, really? I mean, we've seen this guy at Auburn for 3 years. He wasn't that good.
Right.
And he went to Auburn or went to Oregon and he took off. Dylan Gabriel made sense. I was like, okay, he's been sure. Pretty good his whole career. You know, like that one made sense. But Dante Moore, I feel like I put him more in that Bo Nix category. Just we've seen even less of him than we had seen of Bo Nix. And so, I mean, clearly based on how he was rated as a prospect, a ton of talent. But I mean, he couldn't keep the job his true freshman season at UCLA. He ended up, you know, there were some injuries and stuff. But I mean, he never really grasped that job. But again, that was a 2 years ago, the true freshman, you know, starting in the Pac-12 when the Pac-12 was still really good in its final year. That was a really good year for the league, you know, going out. But he wasn't great. And so, you know, can he be better? He has a year in that system now at Oregon. So if they didn't believe in him, he wouldn't be the starter.
Yeah.
There's never a situation where a program like Oregon gets stuck with a quarterback. Ah, well, you know, we missed on a guy in a high school signing class, and now we're trapped, right? Like that cannot happen at a place like Oregon. So the fact that they're riding with him and not recruiting over him suggests to me that he's got a ton of potential.
100%. Well, David, I appreciate it. I'll let you roll, and we'll talk again coming up on Friday.
Okay, sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports, and he's brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday by Oxbow, the family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. You can find them 964 June Road in person and at shopoxbow.com online. That's shopoxbeau.com. And they're loaded with fresh gear this summer. For guys who don't sit still, first, you get Poncho, their best-selling fishing apparel line. It's built for the wild and made for those who chase adventure. And mark your calendars. They have some events coming up in May. The 23rd and 24th, they're teaming up with Milwaukee Boot Company for a two-day event celebrating rugged craftsmanship and boots that don't quit. Then, after the Milwaukee Boot Company, on May 29th and 30th, they're going to have Mizzen and Main. The trunk show is going to be there. They'll feature giveaways, warm weather staples built for comfort and style. And don't miss their newest arrival, Wolf and Shepherd. Some great, great footwear that Gronk wears. Rob Gronkowski wears Wolf and Shepherd. Sleek, sharp, comfortable. And you can even run a 40-yard dash in them if you decide that, if you don't pull your hammy. But sizes for those are up to 15. And then in time for the lake or beach or tailgating, check out the latest drops from Yeti. You can go get a cooler. And when you buy a cooler by Yeti from Oxbow, they give you free ice for life. All you have to do, show that you bought it there, bring in your Yeti, and you go fill it up at the ice machine instead of consistently going to a gas station and buying ice. It's better to have free ice and not bought ice. But Oxbow is anchored in Memphis. 964 June Road or online at shopoxbow.com. That's shopoxbeau.com. Now, George Pickens is now a Dallas Cowboy. Let's talk about it on the other side. Rolling right along, hour number two. Hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, UFL.com, or call 901-341-7008, UFL.com, or call 901-341-7008. Three of the last four games are at home to end the year. And for the rest of the year, Skipper is offering you some deals, right? He's offering you some deals. $2 hot dogs, $2 beers. Again, UFL.com. Call 901-341-7008. Now, today it feels like the Cowboys capped off their selectively aggressive offseason by making a trade for a big-name wide receiver and big-bodied wide receiver. They brought in George Pickens. The details around the trade, George Pickens goes to the Cowboys along with a 2026 sixth-round pick from the Steelers, and the Steelers in return get a 2026 third-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. I'm going to say this. I get it, and I get it on both sides. Completely get it. We'll start with the Steelers. The Steelers think of this as addition by subtraction. You brought in DK Metcalf this offseason. George Pickens was a hothead, didn't like the targets he was getting, didn't like the quarterbacks. He was a problem. So you bring in DK Metcalf, George Pickens becomes expendable. And they do the same things, right? You could have them on both sides, and maybe you would have a good wide receiver room, but they both have issues with targets and who's getting targets, and they may both have some run-ins during the season. So you needed to get rid of that. But they're both outside big-bodied wide receivers that thrive on nine routes, straight down the field, streak routes, and jump balls. So you get rid of him. Now you have DK Metcalf. You have Calvin Austin as your speedster coming out of the slot. You have Roman Wilson from Michigan a couple of years ago that can be your inside-outside guy. You've cleared up the thoughts around your wide receiver room, and you've gotten rid of what you viewed as an organizational and cultural problem. So I get it for the Steelers. And you get some good draft compensation going into next year to potentially move up to get a quarterback of the future. We'll see what happens. But you don't need both of these wide receivers, DK Metcalf and George Pickens, when you're not clear on who your quarterback's going to be. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, may not be. There is a report out there that Aaron Rodgers is interested, George Pickens out the door, and maybe Alan Lazard is on the table for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll see how that figures out. I also get it on the Dallas Cowboys side. You have CeeDee Lamb, who is a perfect inside-outside, runs the whole route tree wide receiver, eats targets up, has 100 receptions plus per year, catches for, 1,200 yards per year, gets in the end zone, great red zone threat. But one thing they have missed that they have not been able to find is that big-bodied jump ball guy, throw the deep ball, uncork it down the sideline, and see if Dak can use that guy at a high level, right? I understand CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens on the same roster. They do different things. George Pickens can be your stalwart starter on the outside that you uncork deep balls to and use him in jump ball situations. I like it from a football sense. Now, I have some concerns on the Cowboys side, and we'll start with the football reason. The football reason is the way the Cowboys really thrive, especially with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb in their passing game, is exploiting the middle of the field, exploiting the sidelines, doing all these different things, running different routes, having route combinations. George Pickens, I know he's caught for 1,000 yards, 2 years ago, caught for 900 yards a year ago with Russell Wilson as quarterback. This is the best quarterback he has had, Dak Prescott, in his entire career. But to really fit into the Cowboys' offense and get the targets that he needs, he's going to have to get a better repertoire route running-wise. Because largely with the Steelers, it was play action, down the sideline, let's throw a jump ball to George Pickens. They do some of that with the Cowboys, but they don't do enough of it. So how are they going to fit George Pickens into a down-to-down role? That's something I want to see. He's a big play, big catch, down the field, big-bodied wide receiver. And they have not utilized it to this point. Now, to the other issues. The Steelers are getting rid of him for a reason. He's been a hothead. He was that way out of Georgia. They have concerns about him. Mike Tomlin is a culture coach. And he has always talked about, and he told the guys from the pivot, Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder and Fred Taylor, he's told them, I don't run away from coaching. But in this particular situation, he is running away from it. And there's a reason for that. I feel like Mike Tomlin over his career has found a way to hide issues using the culture that he creates, relating to his players, telling them what he expects of them, all of that jazz. So with the Steelers getting rid of him, let's go through the history of Steelers wide receivers that had issues with the Steelers organization that Mike Tomlin has let walk. Antonio Brown. That didn't work with anybody else. When he was with the Buccaneers, the last time we saw Antonio Brown play, he took his shirt off, ran off the field, and quit. Martavis Bryant was a guy that was with that Steelers organization and ended up leaving. Now, he got suspended a few times. They ended up trading him to the Cowboys. Did not work out in the slightest. Another guy that we have seen recently just signed with the Cleveland Browns, Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson was traded after getting a big deal with the Steelers. He was an ultimate problem for them. He wanted more targets than he actually earned. And look at how that's worked out. He played on three teams last year and now is signing a $1.7 million deal for 1 year with the Cleveland Browns. So historically, the history of wide receivers that were hidden culturally, that were hotheads in the Steelers organization, the history of them getting outside of that organization, it's not good. It just truly is not good. And that gets me to my third thing. What happens in a situation where George Pickens is not getting the targets he needs? What happens? Please, someone enlighten me. Let me know how that plays out. CeeDee Lamb is a target eater. He got targeted nearly 150 times last year. He gets targeted 150 times nearly every single year. George Pickens is going to have to compete with him for targets. And considering his issues that I already talked about on the football side with not having a full repertoire as a route runner, with not necessarily being the best guy over the middle of the field, with being that jump ball guy, how many targets does he get? And if he gets limited targets, how does that play within that Cowboys locker room? How does that play with Dak Prescott? How does that play with CeeDee Lamb? How does that play with Trayvon Diggs? How does that play with Micah Parsons? How does that play with Jerry Jones? How does that play with all of those people within that organization and their relationship with George Pickens? They're going to try to create a good situation for him. They're going to try to get him involved. There's a reason they went to acquire him. But there is absolutely concerns with George Pickens joining the Dallas Cowboys. I get it. It makes sense from a football standpoint. But can you keep this situation bright? Can you keep him smiling? Can you give him enough targets? Is he going to get his route running crisp and better than it was with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Those things are yet to be seen, but ultimately, I think this trade makes sense, and I understand it on both sides. Now, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, and I know the Cowboys have been looking for a ring for a while, but you can go look for a ring and some diamonds because you need to go take care of mom. There's a lot of different types of moms, working moms, stay-at-home moms, stepmoms, grandmoms, pet moms, whatever it is, doesn't matter what type of mom. They all want diamonds from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Buy mom bigger, brighter diamonds during the Mother's Day diamond sale going on right now at RIJ. Some examples, 2-carat lab-grown diamond stud earring, $799. To the moon gift set, which is a pendant and 24-carat gold dip rose starting at $199. Flexi diamond bangle bracelets. You can stack them. You can buy one. You can buy a few starting at $899. For your pet mom, a diamond paw necklace. $119. That's where that starts. And then diamond essentials, of course, this is, you know, solitaire earrings, pendants, bracelets with perfect match diamonds, excellent proportions for a brighter sparkle. Those start at $299. Free financing is available, 12 months 0% interest, or take up to 60 months to pay at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Mother's Day sale going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Five locations are online at rijewelers.com. Now, small talk is on the way. Make sure you stick around. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. I want to start here, and then there's something in the NFL I want to bring up. It has to do with another wide receiver. We know George Pickens got traded to the Cowboys, but it's not George Pickens. First of all, former Utah quarterback Cam Rising. He is officially medically retired from football. It seems like the right decision. At some point, you have to realize after a million ACL surgeries, your knee can't take anymore. Now, he could have been a UFL guy, could have been an NFL guy. Who knows if he would have stayed healthy. But after 7 years of college football, he's decided to just call it quits on his football career. He'll have some options in Salt Lake City or whatever, what have you. He can be around. He can train quarterbacks. He can do whatever he wants. But he's finally made the decision to step away from football. It is a shame, though, Connor, like thinking back on how many times he got hurt and what Utah could have done if he was actually their quarterback and stayed on the field on a consistent basis. We know they always have a good defense. We know they can run the ball. He was the perfect quarterback for Kyle Whittingham. And he consistently either got hurt before the season, couldn't play at all, or got hurt during the season when they were amidst, you know, an undefeated or 9-10, 11-win season. He won a Pac-12 championship, but he just couldn't stay on the field enough to really make waves, win a championship at the highest level, get to a college football playoff, that type of thing.
Yeah, and it's always sad to see somebody's career end because the game is taken away from them and it's not necessarily their decision. So I wish him the best. And, like, yeah, he's going to be a what if when it comes to college football.
He's going to go find a job, though. I have advocated for that for him in the past.
We have. It was time for him to step away from college football anyway, but you don't like to see it because of injury.
Yes, but I'm glad he's not trying to go get a waiver for an eighth year of college football.
Correct.
Because I think that was on the table at one point, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, glad that he's not doing that. And, again, like, being a former football player and, you know, I really didn't have injuries. There just comes a point where you have to step away. You have to decide what's best for you long term, your health. Football is not always going to be there. You can get a head start on the rest of your life if you just get rid of football.
Yeah,
and it's hard to change your identity. That's one of the biggest things I struggled with and a lot of people struggle with.
And I can confirm he still had a year of eligibility left. He could have come back for another year.
Tell me you're lying.
I am not.
That's gross.
Because of his injuries and the COVID-19 waiver in 2020.
And Kyle Whittingham would have let him do it.
100%.
That's nasty. Good God. 8 years? 8 years. That's too much. That's a full NFL career for a good player. No. I'm glad he's not doing it. All right, now into the NFL. This was a big topic of conversation yesterday. I want to bring it up on the show. Tyreek Hill was on Snapchat the other day, and he was asked about his top five quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, in the past, with the Miami Dolphins, he has brought up Tua's name there. He likes Tua. He said he loved Tua and all of that good stuff. But we know that the relationship with the Dolphins is strained. He wanted out. He was going to stay, but now he wants to leave again. And there's been this back-and-forth trade rumor nonsense going on this entire offseason. But he named his top five quarterbacks. And here's what he had, in no particular order. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and he threw in Baker Mayfield. No Tua Tagovailoa mention in his top five, which is correct. If he would have put Tua in his top five, our conversation would be, you know, Tyreek stopped being a homer.
Correct.
But what do you think about his top five, curiously?
I don't think it's bad. I think Baker's the only one you could have a conversation about. That fifth spot, I think,
yeah,
would be
the top
a few
four,
different guys.
Top Lamar, 100%. Josh, Pat, Joe is like universal. Those should
universal.
Be in your top.
Universal
those should be
top
in your top five.
Who the only like the others that could be?
Who would? That's a good question. Who would be your fifth if you were making a list?
Maybe,
there's options.
Maybe Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts might be in there.
I don't know, Connor. I don't know.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I know. I get that part of it. But, like, let's be honest about skill set and genuinely what he does on the field.
He was unbelievable in the playoffs.
Sure. I get all that. And he was good in both the Super Bowls he played. He was phenomenal. Outplayed Patrick Mahomes in both. Just lost one of them. Would he be in your top 10 if we're talking about skill set? Even your top 10? Like, we're talking about, like, guys that really can sling the ball, can make something happen with nothing.
Are there that many in the league right now, if we're being honest? Are there that many? Like, are there nine more quarterbacks better than Jalen Hurts? I don't think so.
I think you could figure it out.
I think that you could talk about Jaden. You could talk about Jaden.
Jaden?
Justin
Herbert?
Justin Herbert. Is that it?
I mean, let's keep going. Let's okay.
CJ Stroud?
This is not going to be CJ maybe. He's not going to be a popular one, but he has played really well. Where do you put Jared Goff? How do you think about Jared Goff?
He disappears in playoffs.
Okay.
Can't have him there. I think playoffs matter.
I think it's unfair to say he disappears.
He was terrible.
He struggles.
but
he also has been in a Super Bowl and played well before that Super Bowl that he played against the Patriots.
I don't mind Baker being number five. I think Baker's awesome.
I would put somebody else in there before him. I think my two would be Jaden Daniels or Justin Herbert. I'd make my decision based on those two. And I'd say Jaden Daniels, NFC Championship year one. But he's also a rookie. He was a rookie last year going into year two. He doesn't have that much under his belt, and we know about sophomore slumps. C.J. Stroud had one.
I don't think you can say that that Jalen would be in the top 10, though.
Where would you put Jordan Love?
I don't know.
I like Jordan Love.
I think playoff success matters.
Okay.
It matters.
I guess, and I'm with you. I get it. I think from a skill set standpoint, if you put other quarterbacks in that Eagles system, they would be able to win at the same level. I personally believe that.
Maybe.
You put Jordan Love there. You put Baker Mayfield there. You put, not Goff, because they need a little bit more movement than that.
Maybe.
Matt Stafford. How about Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford may be five for me. What he did last year?
I don't mind Matt Stafford. I'm just probably putting Hurts fifth because of his Super Bowls and his performances in the playoffs. I think it matters. He takes care of the football.
So you love you some championships then. Okay.
I think it matters when the guy steps up the most in the playoffs. That matters to me.
Okay. It's what we do in the NBA. That's how we talk about it. So I'm not going to shame you too much.
I think Baker would be fine there. If you want to put Matt Stafford there, I think that's fine.
I think Matt Stafford's my go-to pick there. I think I'm going to go Matt Stafford.
No problem with that at all.
All right. Now, hour number three is on the way. We'll open it up on some NBA playoffs. Keith Smith from SpotTrack and from the Front Office Show is next.